right. Brother Beck, why don't you come? Tonight we're going to have Brother Beck preach for us. How long were you on staff here, Brother Beck? Too long, right? 10 years? He was our he ended up with the principal of our school and just did everything else in between. Just remember, you came on a friend day and got right with God, and I remember we hired him on as staff. I just remember one time he was out working on the bus or something, and Pastor and I were just out talking about him, and like, God's going to do something. He's got a good spirit, hard worker, and we started a church in Monterey Park, and he's been the pastor there and just doing a fabulous job, and so we're honored to have him tonight. He's one of our own, and so let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Thanks, Brother Myers. Well, it's good to be home. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces, and I do appreciate Pastor Myers and Pacific Baptist Church in Long Beach, and all the memories that I've had here. I came here 25 years old as a wayward Christian, and God got a hold of my life very quickly, and I wanted to also thank Pastor Esposito for believing in me. I was only in church for about a year and a half, and he hired me on staff. Didn't give me any glamorous jobs. He made me work under my brother-in-law, Brother Ross, and so I was cleaning up trash and cleaning up after homeless people. But I enjoyed my time here. I learned a lot. I thank God for the memories that I've had here. Would you sing a song with me? Would you sing a song? I have a favorite song, and I wanted to make sure it was in your songbook. We don't need a piano player. We'll just use the beautiful voices that God gave us. But would you turn to 492? The song is, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." And I really believe that with all my heart. I'm living that dream right now. God has been so good to me. And I want to sing this song with you. You ready? Let's sing together on the first. Let's sing it out. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day he bestows every day. My way gets brighter the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Singing, thank you for that. Let's grab your Bibles there if you can. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And let's stand if you can. Stretch your kneecaps a little bit there. Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, this is right almost smack dab in the middle of the most famous sermon ever preached, known as the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Tremendous truths we see all throughout the message that Jesus preached there. But I want you to focus on one thing here tonight. Verse number 33, the title of the message tonight is Finding the Kingdom of God. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this wonderful church and for the many memories that I've had here, and the tremendous messages and the tremendous people. I do thank you for Pastor Myers and his friendship over the years. And I just ask, Lord, tonight that you'd show up, that you'd bless the preaching of your word, that you'd speak to each and every heart and to these young people as they have their future ahead of them. The future is bright. And I pray for all of us, Lord, we might get something for the message today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to refer back to the message that Jesus preached here in Matthew chapter 6 about finding the kingdom of God. Now, in order to find the kingdom of God, we first need to understand what is the kingdom of God. What is Jesus talking about here about his kingdom? Well, I believe if you look back just a few verses there, chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible, Jesus gives us what I believe is the kingdom of God. Verse number 9 there says, after this manner, this is the model prayer that Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, sometimes is often called. He says, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here we go, verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is like the Roman Empire when it was in its heyday. It was a huge kingdom that continued getting bigger and bigger. The Caesars would come in and they would continually send out their armies to take new territory. Now, when the new territories were taken under Roman control, the Romans would use by force to try to make that new territory as much like Rome as possible. They would build Roman temples and institute the Roman religion. They also instituted Roman education and arts and culture and design. They would do everything that they could to make that new territory just like Rome. You say, why? Well, the reason why they did it was because that if Caesar ever came there, he would feel right at home because the territory would remind him of exactly like Rome. That is what the kingdom of God is tonight, folks. It's just as God's will is done in heaven, just the same way that God's will is done in heaven is the same way that God's wants his will done in our lives. Now, after all, the King of Kings is coming back one day. And when he does come, we want him to feel right at home. And so tonight, we're just getting into the message, but what I want you to see here, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the same way that God's will is done in heaven, is the same way that God desires for his will to be done in our lives tonight. Now, how do we find the kingdom of God? Well, I believe the Bible gives us three P's here that we will look at. I want you to notice first there, the posture. The posture. The posture there is the word seek. Seek. Can you say seek tonight? Seek. Seek ye first God's will. That word seek means to go in search of, to look for, to endeavor to find or gain by any means. And God desires for each and every child of God tonight. God desires for us to find His will. God's not up in heaven looking down saying, man, I just want these people to be confused. I want them to turn their wheels. No, God desires tonight for us as His people to find His will. Now, there's two ways, I believe, that a child of God can seek the will of God. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, just a few chapters over there. Two ways to seek God's will. He says there, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But notice chapter 13 and look at verse number 44. The Bible says again, and notice the words there, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That is, I believe, the very first way as a child of God that we can seek the will of God. We see right here is a man. He's traveling home, perhaps from work. I'm sure it was down a path that he had gone many times before, but this time was different. This time he saw something hid, and that is just like how we find God's will. You say, what did this guy do? He was just where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. Amen? And I believe that's how we find God's will. You just be where you're supposed to be, and you just do what you're supposed to do. You know, that's why you get up in the morning and you open the Word of God and you say, God, I'm just putting myself in place, and God, I want you to speak to me today. I want to stumble upon your will for my life. Just do what you're supposed to do. We come to church, and you say, why do you come to church? Because Christians are supposed to come to church. But more than that, we come to church, you say, why? Because we never know when God may reveal His will to us. I remember for me, it was in a college chapel. And God had been working in my heart for quite some time, but it was in that college chapel, in that service. I don't remember what the message was. I don't even remember who was preaching, but I know that I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to be doing, and God showed up, and I walked down an aisle, and I said, God, I don't have much to give you. I don't have much to offer you, but I will do your will. You just show up. You stumble upon God's will. I think about the story of Abraham. You remember the story of Abraham? He sent out his servant to go find a wife for his son, Isaac. He asked him to travel 500 miles to a land he's never seen before, to a people he's never met, to find a girl that he has no idea of. And of course, you remember the story. He goes the 500 miles. He gets there to the well, and those amazing words that ring so loud in my heart tonight, he said there, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And yes, it seemed like an impossible task, going 500 miles to find some young lady that'll be willing to travel 500 miles back to some people that she's never met, to marry some young man that she doesn't know. But yet God, He just said, I'll just be in the way. And God led him. Amen. We seek God, first of all, by just being where we're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do. But I also see another way in the very next verse of Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 45. It says there, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. What's that next word, church? Seeking goodly pearls. So the first man, He was just walking around, walking along the road of life, and he looked over and he saw the treasure. He saw God's will. He was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and God's will showed up. Here we see another man. The Bible says that this man is seeking. He's looking. He's out there. The Bible says that he's seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. The second way I believe a child of God can find God's will is, first of all, is by stumbling upon it. By second of all, is actively looking for it. I think all of us as a child of God tonight, we ought to be dreaming about God's will. You ought to be dreaming, say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want to do with my life? And by the way, even as we get older in life, and I know I'm not very old, I'm only 44 years old, but I still dream about what God can do with my life. And I say, God, I just want to do your will. Do you dream about God's will? I think we dream about, I think we ought to pray about God's will. Say, God, I just want to do your will today. You just be where you're supposed to be. You just do what you're supposed to do. And I promise you, God's will come along. But you ought to be praying about it. You ought to be dreaming about it. And I believe this is very important. I think you ought to get some counsel about it. God's given you a pastor and men of God in your life and parents. You say, why? Not to just ignore them. Not to just walk past them. But to get counsel. And I think you ought to get some counsel about how to find God's will for your life. And so I want to ask you a question tonight. How are you looking for God's will? How are you looking? Now let's be honest here tonight. How many of you, especially you teenagers, don't look for things very well? Raise your hand. Not a very good looker. Anybody not a very good looker? I'll be honest with you. Pray for me. I'm not a very good looker. Okay? And you say, why? Because my wife is the keeper of the home, especially in the kitchen. How many of this happened to you before? I asked my wife, I said, you know, where's the peanut butter? She says, it's in the cupboard. I go over to the cupboard. I open up the cupboard. I don't see the peanut butter. Right? And I said, there's no peanut butter in here. My wife says, there's peanut butter in there. You just got to look. And I said, I didn't look. I didn't see the peanut butter. And then, of course, my wife, because she does all the shopping, she knows exactly where the peanut butter is, but she put the peanut butter there, and she comes over there, and she starts climbing in the cupboards, and she, look, and she comes out. I got a can of peanut butter right here. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes that's how we look for God's will. Well, I'd find it. I don't know what to do. I guess I'm just going to go do my own thing. You say, what? I looked for it, but I did not find it. Seek God's will for your life. Stumble upon God's will for your life. Pray about God's will for your life. Dream about God's will for your life. But I want you to notice here. I want you to notice, we just read it. I want you to notice the response of each of these men when they found God's will. It says there in verse 44, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. He didn't want to lose it. And for joy thereof, he goeth and selleth. What's that next word? All. He selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Notice the next verse, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold what? All that he had and bought it. You say, what was the response when these men found God's will, the kingdom of God? They were willing to give up everything. They were willing to give up a job and a car and comfort and convenience. They were willing to give up friends. They were willing to give up everything for God's will. There's no greater fight in the life of a child of God, no greater worthy sacrifice than the will of God. Seek it. Don't settle for second best. Seek it. Don't squander it away. Seek it. Don't surpass it for anything. Seek it. Don't sell it for something cheap. Seek the will of God. The next P I want to point out here, number two, is the person. The number one was the position. Number two is the person. And God uses that word ye. Ye. Ye is an interesting word. Ye is a singular plural, meaning corporately, but individually. That means God has a will for your life, but God has a will for your life, Aaron, Bradley, Paul, Noah. I was just checking to see if you knew your name. You say, what does that mean? That means God has a will for every single one of us tonight, but very personally for ye and for you and for you and for you. God has a will for each and every single one of us. Now let me say this, church. God's will for your life should not be dependent upon anyone else.
That's right.
God's will for your life should not be dependent upon whether so-and-so makes it or not, whether somebody falls. I'll be honest with you, the guy when I first came to church, other than my brother-in-law, he wasn't my brother-in-law at the time, the one person that really kind of took me in and made me feel welcomed in our church, he's no longer in church. He's not here. I know Pastor Myers know who's I'm talking about. But he really kind of took me in. And you see, if we as Christians, if we dictate finding God's will on other people, guess what? We're not going to find it. God's will has absolutely nothing to do with anybody else. And oftentimes in life, we are so worried about what everybody else is doing. That's one of the dangers of social media. We get on social media and we look at Sister So-and-so or we look at Brother So-and-so and we say, well, look what they're doing. And if we're not careful, that causes us to miss God's will for our life. Look, the reality is this. This is not something new that Christians have been doing, worrying about other people. Turn, if you would, real quick. Maybe you want to keep something there. I think you probably have the verse memorized. But turn over to John chapter number 21. John chapter 21. Even the disciples worried about other people. Notice what it says here in John chapter 21. John chapter 21 says there, then Peter, the great Peter, the preacher of Pentecost, the man that walked on water, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of John. He sees John following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, John, saith to Jesus, Lord, what does he say here? And what shall this man do? What about this guy? Hey, what's this guy going to do? Even Peter, the great apostle Peter, was worried about other people. Notice Jesus' response. He says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus says, stop worrying about everybody else. Stop checking on the Instagram all the time. Stop gossiping about other people. That has absolutely nothing to do with God's will for your life. Let me say this too. Please, don't blame anybody else. if you don't find God's will. It's not God's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. It's not your pastor's fault. It's not your Sunday school teacher's fault. It's not the youth pastor's fault, the Christian school's fault. It's our fault. Too many times we're living in a culture where everybody wants to blame everybody else for the reason why they are the way they are. It's actually gone on for a very long time. Back in the 1950s, there was a psychologist and a psychiatrist that made the statement that crime is caused by environment. And so they set out to prove their theory correct. And they started a 17-year study involving thousands of hours of clinical testing, over 250 inmates in Washington, D.C. And to their astonishment, they discovered this, that crime cannot be traced to environment, poverty, or oppression. Instead, crime is a result of individuals, as they put it, making wrong moral choices. And so tonight, we just want to try to get away from the blame game, try to get away from blaming our parents, try to get away from blaming other people. Look, God has a will for your life tonight, and your job is to find it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And you have to believe tonight, church. You have to believe tonight, church, that God has a will for your life. Sometimes we just look out in the world and of the billions of people that are around, we wonder, man, can God really do something with my life? You have to believe that He can. It's kind of like the 4-minute mile. The 4-minute mile they thought was impossible to break. All the way back to ancient Greeks, the folklore was that the Greeks were determined to have somebody break the 4-minute mile. They would have lions, and I don't know if they would tie a piece of meat on the back of somebody, and they would have the lions chase somebody trying to beat a 4-minute mile. They would drink a lion's milk, thinking that it would give them strength to be faster. Finally, they came to the conclusion, they said, the human body cannot run a 4-minute mile. It's impossible. The way our bone structure is, the size of our lungs, all of these different excuses of why a man could not run under a 4-minute mile. But it wasn't until 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Now here's the amazing thing about that story. Soon as Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, later that same year, 37 people broke the 4-minute mile. And the very next year, it was about 300 runners broke the 4-minute mile. You say, what's the big deal with that? Because they believed it was impossible. It could never be done. You can't find God's will. You can't possibly know. You can't do this and you can't do that. But the moment you start believing that God is able, little as much when God is in it, and you will believe that God has a will for your life, and you'll find it. Finding God's will, our posture is to seek it. The person is you. And lastly, we see here the priority. He says there in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. If you look back prior to verse 33, the things that Jesus is talking about, food and clothing. You see, if we can't trust Jesus with food and clothing, that we won't be able to trust Jesus with our future. You see, Jesus is saying, look, seek my will first, not second, not third, not when you have a chance, not when you feel like it, but seek my will first. Too many times, too often in life, we seek the things first rather than seeking God's will. I read a story about an American historian. He went to Argentina and he spoke to the president there. And the president had a question for him. He said, you know, I know you're very educated and well-versed in history. Tell me this. Why is it that when the Spaniards, and the Spaniards back in those days were a very strong nation and conquered a lot of different areas, and he said, why when the Spaniards came to South America, and South America has more natural resources than North America, they settled South America prior to the settling of North America or the United States. But why is it that when the Spaniards came to South America and the Pilgrims and the Baptists, amen, came to America, why is it with the less resources, the less time, the less money, why is it that America is the most prosperous country in the history of the world? And the historian stopped for a moment, thought about it, and looked at him. He says, well, truthfully, the answer is simple. You see, the Spaniards came to South America looking for gold, and the Pilgrims and the Baptists came to North America looking for God. Amen. You see, looking for gold, we're not going to find God's will. But looking for God, you'll find it. Amen. And let me just say this, church. Please don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. I read a quote, tremendous quote by Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, at the time of his death, died in his 50s. $10 billion. $10 billion. He died of pancreatic cancer. But he said this. He said, I've reached the peak of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is the epitome of success. But aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, my wealth is only a fact of life that I have become accustomed to. At this moment, lying sick and in my deathbed, recalling my life, I realize that all the recognition, all the wealth that I took pride in have paled and have become meaningless in the face of death. And Steve Jobs died a lonely, hopeless man. You say, what's the point of that? We do not seek the things before seeking God's will. God says, if you seek my will for your life, I will take care of the things. Amen? It's not all about stuff. I just talked to somebody today, somebody that I love and care about. They're not in church, and they're making good money, well over $100,000. And I spoke to them, and they said, I'm depressed. They used to go to our church. And I said, you know why you're depressed? It's because you're just living for self. You got no purpose. You're not doing anything meaningful for the cause of Christ. He said, yeah, you know, you're probably right. And he's frustrated. He's humanly speaking, you're making that kind of money. You got it made. Everything's good, but guess what? That money does not bring happiness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the things God will take care of the rest. I got a phone call a couple weeks ago, and there was a person that used to attend our church. They just recently moved away, and they're living kind of far, and their son was really sick. He's 29 years old. He was on life support. And they called me, you know, of course, and they say, hey, can you come talk to my son? Can you pray for him? And of course, I did it. I've never met him in my life. I know his parents, and I love his parents. So I drove down there, and I saw him there, 29-year-old man with children, two kids, on life support. His parents are sobbing there on the side. And I shared the gospel with them, but I mean, truth, I have no idea. I mean, there's no response, nothing. I did my best and did what I could do. But I thought about how many times people wait till the very end. They say, well, I'll get serious about God later. Or I'll seek God's will later, when I have a chance, or when things change, or when I get out of this bind, or when I fix my finances, or when this relationship is taken care of. You never know, church. What's the message tonight? Find God's will. Find God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's will for your life, and all of these things will be added unto you. God will take care of the rest. And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for these young people and adults and all the work, and people been up all kinds of hours. But I just pray for all of us, myself included, that you'd help each and every single one of us to seek your will for our lives. And help us to find it, help us to follow it, and help us to finish it. Pastor Myers.
Let's stand together this evening. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? You've been fighting God's will. Been avoiding it. Let's use the altar this evening.